Victory Monday here at Flowery Branch. The Falcons pitched the shutout of the Giants yesterday at the Dome. 34-0 is the final. Atlanta, of course, moves to 12-2 overall. And now a quick turnaround and a Saturday night ball game at 8:30 at the Ford Field in downtown Detroit against a Lions team that lost 38-10 yesterday at Arizona. That's six straight losses now for Jim Schwartz's club. They have gone from 4-4 to 4-10.
Yeah, some heartbreaking losses too, Wes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very close losses.
First team to have the lead in three consecutive games in the final 2 minutes only to lose. First team since the Chargers of 2000 to happen.
Yeah, the most recent one was 2 weeks ago when Andrew Luck took his team the length of the field in the final moments and threw the short pass to Avery, and Avery scampers in to win the game, essentially a walk-off play to win the football game. This weekend, not so much, though. They go down to Arizona, and Arizona hands them their rear end in a demolition job after Arizona had the same thing happen to them in Seattle. So go figure both those teams.
Yeah, an amazing kind of reflection on how fragile the National Football League can be is to look at Detroit. Because you've got as you were mentioning with Mike a moment ago, you've got a guy who's having a season that is on the verge of being the unbreakable record in Calvin Johnson. You've got a pretty good defense. When healthy, arguably one of the more physical defenses the National Football League can offer, although there have been some injuries that have sidetracked that group throughout the course of the year. And you've got the unknown running game that apparently, despite the record, has found its way a little bit with Mikel LeShore running the ball.
Yeah, LeShore has given them a little bit of punch in the run game, and that's really all they were looking for. They want to sling the ball around with Stafford. Now, I think that they've struggled to find a receiver. Nate Burleson's injury really hurt them, and then, of course, I don't even know what to classify the defection, if you will,
of Titus Young.
Yeah. Was supposed to be that guy coming out of Boise State they drafted a couple years ago to be one of those guys that would slide in. So they've been trying to find a guy to play opposite Calvin Johnson. That makes what he's doing even more remarkable, that there isn't that viable guy on the other side. It's Calvin Johnson and Brandon Pettigrew a little bit from the tight end spot, but it's really about Calvin Johnson, and he has been phenomenal.
Well, when you look at Matthew Stafford's numbers, of course, the former number one pick in the draft, nearly 60% completions, 17 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. His yards per attempt, though, is below 7. It's 6.8, and his passer rating is under 79, so it has been an up-and-down year. The Falcons, of course, who picked up their 12th win yesterday in convincing fashion. It's great to be joined, as always, by the head coach of the Falcons, Mike Smith. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Peter Kahns and our Buckhead Beef and Spasadale player spotlight, and I look forward to our visit with Peter Kahns, who was the Falcons' first pick of the draft a year ago out of Wisconsin. So we'll catch up with the young lineman in just a moment. Smitty, they don't script games like yesterday. They happen. They happen, and I thought you touched on it great on radio with Dave and myself on TV. The balance your team showed, all three disciplines yesterday really showed up in the win.
Yeah, that was as close to a complete game as we played all season in all three phases, and it started with the opening kickoff. Cliff Matthews had a big tackle inside the 20-yard line, 16-yard line, and get second play of the game, get an interception, and then get Michael going right off the bat in our running game, and we were off to a very fast start, and all three phases really contributed.
Smitty, I guess you start with the focal point outside, and inside the building too, to a certain extent, was that front four for the Giants, and what do you do to neutralize them? The diversity of play call, you mentioned it in your press conference from a formation standpoint, play call, check with me at the line of scrimmage. And then guys have to come to play. Yeah. And the guys up front really came to play for you.
Dave, they really did. The offensive line did an outstanding job against a very good and arguably the best front four in the National Football League. And we can scheme and we can do some things with some looks, but ultimately those guys got to line up and control the line of scrimmage, and that's what we were able to do yesterday. I know Peter's going to be on here in the second half hour. Peter had probably his best game of the season, and he had tough duty, a rookie, to have to go up against those guys. But across the board, starting with Sam and Justin Blaylock and Todd McClure, Peter, Tyson Clabo, Mike Johnson came in and played in our heavy package, which helped us run the football as well. Played the tight end position. We got Lamar Holmes In the ball game as well.
Arch was very excited about that, I might add.
Yeah, yeah. I like Lamar Holmes.
Yeah, well,
I tell that's you a what, lot to like right there.
When you're, that's right. When you're a
literally.
That's right. When you're standing behind that offensive line and he's in there, it gives you a little different dimension, a little different perspective of how big he really is. When you stand when you're standing behind and watch those guys go up the line of scrimmage.
I thought it was fitting he was in the heavy package.
Yeah, he was in the heavy, what we call our heavy package, no doubt. And he got his first, you know, his first opportunity to play. Peter got to play some center,
right,
which is going to be invaluable for us, that you know, down the stretch. We're getting some guys, we cross train them in practice. Sometimes we don't get an opportunity to do it in in the game, and we were able to do that yesterday.
Smitty, the when you start talking about how well you block up front, obviously there's contributing factors to those five that you mentioned, and then the sixth if you bring the other offensive line in. The tight ends, of course, Michael and Tony doing a nice job. But I thought your blend of your four of all your backs, you got all your backs in the game. Snelling, Turner, Quiz, Mike Cox, all of them did some stuff in the game that really benefited you to win this football game.
They really did, and it was probably as a group that was the best performance from the running back group yesterday. And we even got Antone Smith a touch or two. So Antone got some shots, but it was good to see Michael started it off. We were able to run the ball effectively and efficiently. Jaquez, you know, rolled in there next. You know, Mike Cox is a guy that it's a thankless job playing fullback in the NFL. There's not many of them around that still actually do it. And then you know, it was nice to see Jason Snelling, especially in the 4 minute package there at the end of the ball game. He was running really hard, so.
But you got Mike Cox a crumb. He threw one.
Matt
threw him one in the flat. Then he did a little airborne job to get you a first down.
That's right. He showed his athleticism. It was right in front of me too. It was amazing to see the vertical that he you know that he did.
Yeah. And he's
oozes. Still talking about it.
Yeah,
right.
I was getting ready to say. I saw him play at Tech. He just oozes with athleticism, Smitty. but here's the thing, and we talk about team wins and balanced team wins. This time of the year, and you've talked about the tournament and December football and things like that, but when it starts to happen, I think that's what catches people by surprise, is when you make, you know, good performances in the month of December, critical ball games, not just to the big picture, but to the team picture. And I think this time of year, a lot of people get caught up in the tentacles of what goes on around with other teams and what it means to your team and those kinds of things. Falcon fans are not. But yet the tentacles of within your team playing well this time of year, you cannot understate that, can you?
You can't. And we have to give credit to credit where it's due, and that's in the guys in the locker room. They really realized coming into practice last week, we did not play up to our standards, our expectations the week before, and there was a much heightened focus on going out and having excellent practices. And I think I said it yesterday. We, you know, the game was won on what we did on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And the guys, you know, they did a nice job. They were very focused. They stayed focused. They knew that there was going to be some tough stretches in the ball game. And, you know, we were able to really start fast, and they didn't come as often as I thought they would. But we were able to, you know, we were able to play very efficient football. And we didn't play it perfectly, but it was probably our best effort of the season.
Yeah, and I know you're always trying to – you're going to tweak the stuff. There'll be some third down runs that you weren't excited about when they got you in your sub package. We will run the football a little bit against you. I know that's something you want to shore up, doesn't it?
No doubt about it, Dave. There's always something. Yeah. You know, it's like the putting the finger in the dike. You're putting it in one hole, and then if one pops over there, and you got to decide – where it goes, and that's you know, that's the way it is. When you're playing in this league, you're playing against good football teams every week. They've got strengths, they've got weaknesses. We've got strengths and weaknesses, and you go out there and compete. And the guys did a fine job yesterday,
Coach. It ends up being 34-0, and obviously the touchdown at the start of the third quarter. Dave and I both remarked at the time that's just a tremendous message to send at the start of the second half. That, you know, hey, not only did we play well in the first half, we're gonna get something going here. You then force them 9 plays. They give it back on downs. You come back, and then that's the part you were talking about, the not being able to run the ball a little bit down in the red zone. I'm sure frustrated. You got the field goal. Then the 3-and-out. And then 13 plays, 69 yards in 9 minutes. Yeah. I mean, you had the ball seemingly the entire second half. They basically had, what, 2 possessions we figured out in the second half.
Well, yeah, 2 plays in the fourth quarter.
2 plays in the fourth quarter, Smitty.
Yes, the time of possession was 13 minutes, and I think 13 minutes in our favor.
Right.
34, then some change to 20 or 21.
Yeah, I think it was even worse than that.
Yeah, 17, yeah, right?
17. Almost 37 goodness. Minutes yeah. to their 21, yeah. So 16-minute differential.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's good for the offense and good for the defense. You know, we were moving the football very well. And I thought we talked about the offensive line, talked about the running backs. I thought Matt was very efficient and had a very good feel of where the ball needed to go. And, of course, I thought Julio had a big game, as did all the receivers. Harry Douglas had his most productive game. Can't say enough about Roddy in terms of his toughness to get back out there. Without practicing all week, so it was a team effort, and we had some guys that had to step up on the defensive side as well.
Well, yeah, and you're talking about Roddy real quickly, and it's worth mentioning for those that didn't see it, go back and look at it. Roddy White makes a key block in that opening series of downs. You guys are in a tight look. Roddy comes down and gets the safety block that allows Turner to skate and get inside the 10-yard line to get the first down.
No doubt about it. Watching Roddy play the game at the wide receiver position, it's just not about catching balls. He's the best all around wide receiver, in my opinion, in all of football. He's so competitive. His wrestling background, he understands leverage. He knows how to block, and man, does he bring a thump when he comes.
Do you ever take into consideration? And I don't know if you even know the number when you go in at halftime. I looked at the stat sheet and was a little baffled. You're up what 17-0 at the half, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I looked at the stat sheet, and Julio and Roddy touched the ball twice.
Yep.
I mean, are you aware of that going in, saying, wait a minute, we're up 17-0, and our two most explosive players haven't touched the football yet?
I didn't know it was two. I just knew that the ball didn't go in their direction, and you know that coming in at halftime. And I think that we made some adjustments to make sure that we were going to get the get them their opportunities. We knew if we gave them their opportunities, they were going to make plays, just like Harry did on the seam route there in the second half.
All right, more coming up with Coach Mike Smith in a moment. The Mike Smith Coaches Show presented by Superior Plumbing, the Honest Plumber at 770-422-PLUMB. Don't forget, Peter Kahn's our player guest in the Buckhead Beast Spotsdale Player Spotlight. You can text Peter a question at 77530, courtesy of the U.S. Auto Sales You Tell Us text line. And our show brought to you by Pizza Hut. The $10 deal is perfect for tonight's Monday night game, Jets and Titans in Nashville. Any pizza, any size, any toppings, just $10 when you order out. Back with Dave Archer and Coach of the Falcons, Mike Smith, after this on 7-9 of the Zone.
Get coverage of every NFL team from your smartphone. To get NFL Mobile, call *NFL to get it now. NFL Mobile, only from Verizon.
And back at Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, West Durham, the Falcon head coach Mike Smith is with us. Coming up, Peter Kahn's in the Buckhead Beast Spotsdale Player Spotlight. Falcons in Detroit on Saturday night at Ford Field, 6:30 for the AT&T countdown to kickoff, with Chris Domino hosting, and then Arch and I with John on the sidelines. We'll have the broadcast for you. You've been there before. You know it's a great environment. The fans are literally almost right on you. It's a smaller venue in terms of its size, but because the ceiling is low in terms of an indoor stadium, Smitty, boy, it gets loud in there.
It's very loud. When we were up there 2 years ago, I believe it was, or last year.
Last year, yeah.
They're at the end of the season. Very loud, and their fans, they're very good fans, and they're playing much better than what their record indicates. They've got a wide receiver that's on track to break Jerry Rice's all-time yardage for a single season. People here in Atlanta are very familiar with Calvin Johnson, playing at Georgia Tech. He's a big, strong, athletic football player, arguably one of the best in all of football, and he's going to demand a lot of attention from from our defense in this ball game.
Smitty, when you look at this is a defense, I guess you could kind of compare them a little bit to the Giants. Not as celebrated, but Van den Bosch and Averill, two really good guys on the edge. And, of course, two big defensive tackles in Sue and Farrelly in the middle. And maybe a better linebacker core with Tulloch, Durant, and Levy than maybe what you see what you saw this weekend with the Giants. So from a personnel standpoint, very much a good defense that you're going to face this weekend.
Oh, it's a very good defense. And, you know, they've played a lot of close games. You know, they're much, much better than their record indicates. And the team we played last week, I said, was probably the best. These guys are right, you know, right next to them in terms of the front four. You know, Cliff Averill and Kyle Van den Bosch coming off the edge. They're very, very relentless. You know, Nadekem Sue, we all know what he's capable of doing. He is a disruptive football player, as is Nick Farley. Excuse me. I'm very familiar with Justin Durant. Had him in Jacksonville when he was a rookie and through his second year. Steven Tulloch, who played at the Tennessee Titans in that scheme for Coach Schwartz. And Levy is a guy that is got very good size and can run. So it's going to be a big challenge for us. And their quarterback and their passing offense is outstanding. So it's going to be a big challenge.
Smitty, how do you when you start looking at the back end of the season now? Two games left, obviously in the playoffs. It looks like a first round bye is obviously there. Still trying to secure home field advantage throughout. And I know those are things that you don't want your team worrying about. You'll take care of that yourself and the coaching staff or whoever's going to look at that kind of stuff. But how do you balance trying to keep guys healthy, win the football game and secure what you want, but knowing that you want everybody ready to go for you that second weekend of January?
Well, it's something that you put a lot of thought into, and right now there's so much for us to be playing for, especially this week. And we know what's at stake. We know where we stand in the standings. We control our own destiny, and we need to go out and win this game. And we're still taking it as a week-by-week approach. Some of the decisions that we might make in terms of injured players may get skewed a little bit based on it being the end of the year. But we're going to play, Dave. I said it yesterday. We're going to go out and we're going to play every game through the rest of this season to go out and win. We've got to do that regardless if they say you're in the playoffs. We don't know where we're playing, who we're playing. We want to try to get that solidified if we can this weekend.
And it speaks to the process. We were talking about it earlier during your presser. But it does, doesn't it? I mean, that's part of the deal that you said, the mentality, the preparation, all of that.
It is. It's ongoing. And, the dynamics change. The dynamics change because of the time of the season. The dynamics change because who's healthy, who's not. The dynamics change based on what we have to get accomplished. We can't concern ourselves with what other teams are dealing with and what they're having to get done. We've just got to go out and play good football. They mentioned and asked me about, can you quantify what momentum is? I think it's very hard to quantify.
Right.
It's like, who's more emotional?
Right. Well, and to that end, Smitty, there are so many different ways to play these last three or four games, and there's been success with, say, 2009. New Orleans goes 13-0 and loses their last three and wins the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Then you get the Giants last year who caught fire in December and ran all the way through, went and beat a 15-1 team in their building in Green Bay. So I guess you have the pulse of your team and how you're going to approach your philosophy for the final couple games of the year.
Yes, and right now we're going to go out and play to win these last two football games. We've got to. But there's just so much to play for in terms of where you're going to play, when you're going to play, and who you're going to play. And we're not relying on anybody outside of our building, and that's a good feeling to know that we can control our destiny by going out and playing effective and efficient football, and I think that'll help us into the second season.
We're talking about Detroit, and you mentioned all the weapons offensively, and a look at yesterday's ball game, kind of indicative of all the a lot of people call it coach speak, but the reality is the reality. You look at the turnover situation. Yesterday, Detroit had a fumble, and Stafford had three interceptions, two of which were run back for scores.
Yes.
Arizona had one interception and no fumbles in the ball game, and Cardinals won by, you know, four touchdowns, 28 points, 38-10. Two of the picks run back. One of the fumbles led directly to short field scores. A five-yard scoring drive, a two-play, three-yard scoring drive. I mean, it is the reality of what the league is.
Yes. You know, I say it all the time. Tell our players, possession of the football is 90% of the game. You want to possess that football and keep possession of it. And I think we did a very good job yesterday. Not to get back to yesterday, but did a great job with the three turnovers and then the three fourth down stops. But if you win the turnover battle, more than likely, you're going to win the ball game. I know that occasionally it goes the other way, but statistically, if you win the turnover battle, you're going to win the game.
Detroit, Dave, 312 yards of offense. Arizona, 196.
Yeah, not a lot of offense in Arizona. You got to provide them. They're playing on an arena field, and Detroit was playing on the rest of the field. They're a little challenged offensively. Smitty, I want to talk to you specifically and take you back to yesterday. Obviously, the break that Asante makes on the football, just the instincts that he has, that's why you guys went and got him. That's why he's here. The play that Thomas DeCoux makes on the interception, where he rolls and ends up almost in a bracket scenario on
he was.
Yeah,
yes.
Phenomenal play to roll and then locate the football in his eyes, and then an athletic play to intercept the pass. DeCoux is – he's really grown a lot in the last year, I would say. Would you say that?
Yes, he has. You know, Thomas is making a lot of plays on the ball, and he's been very productive for us in terms of interceptions, pass breakups, and he and William, I think, as a tandem, are playing this season as well as any tandem of safeties in the NFL. They both earned ones in year five, ones in year four. They're both playing with a lot of confidence right now. They've got a lot of games underneath their belt, and even though they're young, they've played a lot of games for us here in Atlanta.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about the depth, because there's so many guys that have stepped in. We talked about Chris Owens a week or two ago, where Chris came in and played well against New Orleans, did a phenomenal job in that football game. You get banged up, William can't go, Chris starts, Chris Hope starts, and Chris comes up with a big hit, and he has to come out of the game because he got a little rattled there and had to come sit down for a few minutes. Here comes Dominic Franks in the game, and you've seen Dominic return punts if you're a fan, and maybe even see him play a little nickel or corner. Now he's back at the safety spot and makes a great play on a ball in the little honey hole in cover two there. I mean, the cross training of the way of what you guys have got has really got to make you feel good about the depth you have back in the back end.
It really does. It was great to see us be able to play with some of our backup players, and we talk about it all the time. Your roles are ever changing, and it's just like that where you could be out there on the field, and everybody is anticipating and expecting you to play at the same level as the guy in front of you. You know, Chris Hope comes in because William Moore can't play. Chris makes some really nice plays inserting himself into the run game early on, made some nice stops, and then all of a sudden, boom, Chris is out. Mm-hmm. Here comes Dom. You know, Dom had to go in, and we had a little different substitution package where Dom came in into that, and Charles Mitchell got some snaps.
Yeah, yesterday. I was going to say, so, you had to be pleased.
You know, Charles
with
that, yeah. has been injured the last 5 or 6 weeks. It was great to get him back out on the field. Last week was the first time he dressed in quite some time from his leg injury. So we're getting a lot of guys some experience, and that's going to be very beneficial for us as we finish up this regular season and prepare for the off season.
All right, Coach, thanks as always. Know it's a quick week. Appreciate the time.
All right, thank you, guys.
That's Falcons head coach Mike Smith. Stay tuned. More of the Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing coming up. From Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and the rookie lineman Peter Kahns after this. And our Buckhead Beef Spasadale Player Spotlight features rookie Peter Kahns. He'll get a Buckhead Beef gift certificate to enjoy the freshest, finest, most tender steaks, chops, and more from Atlanta's own Buckhead Beef. It's the best there is. And we're also going to get him a big Burgundy Spasadale gift certificate just in time for the holidays for the lady in your life, Peter.
So she
can enjoy Spasadale's new organic soy hot candle wax massage.
Wow.
Yeah, that's definitely something for the wife.
I think there's a video attached to that as well, I'm sure.
Life moves fast. Life moves real fast for rookies in the NFL. You play in the Rose Bowl. All of a sudden, you're in the combine. One thing leads to another. You're drafted. What, 5 months later, you're starting in the offensive line in the NFL? I mean, how fast does life move here? From a year ago today, coming off exams, getting ready to practice for the Rose Bowl, to today.
I'll tell you what, without those exams, life moves even faster. I'm enjoying every day of that. But, yeah, it's been such a wild ride. I mean, moving from the north to the south, it still feels like October weather to me. So my body's tricked.
Yeah.
It's thinking, no, there's no rookie wall. We're still in October.
Yeah.
But it's been such a crazy ride for me. I mean, going from center to guard, I've never played guard before, having a lot of one-on-one battles, you know, and then, you know, facing last year's Super Bowl champion just last night that I watched. You know, with my family. It's just been wild.
Peter, we talked about, you and I got a chance to visit last week for a little bit, and talking about, I remember my rookie year, kind of the wow moments, teams that I watched when I was in college. Now that I'm on the same field with them as the Oakland Raiders, I saw the Raiders. I said, wow, that was my team as a kid. Have you had any of those kind of moments? Obviously, you just mentioned the defensive line. All of a sudden, you're balking Canty and Joseph. Those are two guys you saw getting after Brady last year in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I was lying during that interview. I was a little starstruck.
I don't blame you.
But, I mean, you don't say it the week of the game. But sure. The whole week, the offensive line was telling me, you know, these guys are for real. This is going to be one of the best defensive fronts we faced. And, I mean, everybody knows that, you know, against Carolina and even New Orleans, I didn't have the best pass protection. And that was one of the things I focused on. And that was one of the things the guys helped me with. Mm. And, you know, and once we kept Matt clean and we got the ball rolling, you know, this team started clicking. And I think we showed a lot of special things.
Peter, when you start thinking about it, and I got to guess, you grew up in what, Nina, is that right?
Wisconsin? Yeah, that's right.
I got to believe you were a Packers guy growing up, right?
You know what? I never wanted to do anything anybody told me to. They said you can't make it to the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to try.
Sure.
You know, football's not a real job, so I tried. I was actually a Dan Marino Dolphin fan.
Were you really?
How about
that?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, my mom says I like the colors, and then all of a sudden I went from Dan Marino to Jason Taylor. Then they got Chris Chambers, who was a Wisconsin wide receiver.
Right, yeah.
So that was me, you know, back to the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar running back days.
Wow.
OJ McDuffie. I mean, I was a real fan. You know?
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, a lot of people can't pull Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out of the pretty good call.
So when all this starts to happen, and here you are lining up against the Super Bowl champs, or you're playing in a game on Monday night, or you're doing something mm-hmm. like, I mean, what's the, do you think, okay, I got to, it's just like playing in Neenah, Wisconsin now, but I just got to do it at a different level?
No, I tried that. It didn't work because it definitely was not Neenah, Wisconsin. I've been trying to let the fear actually motivate me a little bit more. Mm. I've been trying to let myself get a little scared, let myself be nervous during the weeks of practice. Like, oh no, I got this guy this week.
Yeah,
I better step it up. And you know, I think I'm going to keep doing that because
Saturday night the hits keep on coming, right?
I mean, it gives me so much energy.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some kind of fight or flight kind of thing
going on
where if I'm just a little bit nervous, I can really do some damage if you're just a little scared. I did that in practice. I think it was Cliff. It was like a Friday. You know, the speed is real slow. It's more like a jog through, and Cliff came off the ball, and I got scared. So I hit him, and I almost threw him at Clavo's legs, and I had to keep him up. But, I mean, you just get a little nervous, you can throw some punches.
Well, you got some guys. I love that because you got some guys you're going to be punching with this weekend. We'll get to the Lions here in a few minutes. Peter, you guys got it going right off the start. And was it the plan to come up and try to pound them with the run game? Because you really got Turner going downhill. It was because you guys are playing on their side of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, that was a big part of the plan. This offense has been trying to be more than one-dimensional. I mean, there were some games where we ran the ball great, didn't pass it so well. There's been games where all we did was pass it. So we've really focused on being balanced, and it starts with getting that run game going, which allows you to do play action, which eventually allows you just to pass situations because you got safeties creeping up. I know during the end of the game they had a safety in there. It was almost like a four linebacker look. So, I mean, it just opens up so many things if you can get the run game going.
Probably felt like a little bit like being back at Wisconsin. You guys ran the ball.
Good.
I mean, because you guys ran the ball 38 times through it, or threw it 28, threw it, ran it 35, ran it for 130 yards. Which, as you know now, you guys are using it at Wisconsin to run it for 250, 300 yards. But here at the pro level, if you can run the ball for 120 yards or something, like you're dictating what's going on up front.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. Our running backs too. They were running hard. I mean, everybody was giving it because that was like a playoff game. We wanted to get some momentum going. We knew who we had in front of us, so everybody played so hard. I mean, you got to give a lot of credit to Matt and all the running backs and all the receivers and Tony and just the whole team clicking.
Peter Kahn's with us in our Buckhead Beast Spotsdale Player Spotlight, part of the Mike Smith Show, presented by Superior Plumbing, the honest plumber at 770-422-PLUM. I've often, and Dave's heard me do this several times, I divide the roster up. One of the things I think the team's been successful is because of the chemistry in the locker room. And good football teams have like a third young guys, a third maybe middle of their career guys, and a third older guys. And this roster kind of lends itself to that analogy. What's it like being one of the younger third on this football team? Number one, I know it's tough being a rookie, period, because that goes on. Arch promised me that goes on start to finish of your rookie year.
That's right.
Never ends. But what's it meant to come in on the rookie level of a football team like this with this kind of experience and this kind of leadership?
Oh, it's been great for me personally, just because I'm in between Mud Duck and Claybo, and you know, when things get hectic, they're the first ones to be able to tell us this is what we need to do. You know, this is what we have to be looking for. I mean, they're the ones being able to orchestrate it to me. Even though, you know, I've only been in this offense for less than a year, they're able to really help me out during the game. So, I mean, that's part of the reason that I've been able to do even close to as well as I have is because of those guys.
I think some of the anxieties and worries that you have as a rookie are there because of the unknown. You just don't know what things are going to be like. And I know you've gone through some of that. What was something that you thought, oh, God, and then when you got here you found out it was okay? Was it the relationship of the or how much the veterans were willing to help you? What was the biggest surprise to you?
The biggest surprise was how much they were willing to help me. And at first I thought it was just going to be a job where they were going to come in, do their own thing, and leave, and don't worry about the younger guys. I mean, they're professionals, they can handle themselves. But when I had questions and when I just had worries about, you know, the upcoming game, I wasn't alone, because our offensive line is such a tight-knit group that they helped me. And I, you know, I didn't think I was going to get that when I came into the pros.
You know, it's interesting. You come in, obviously Pat Hill takes over as the line coach. Paul Dunn's been there since Smitty's been here for the most part. You got some good leadership from that position too.
Oh, definitely. They're so smart. They've been doing football for decades. I mean, longer than I've been alive. So they know the ins and outs of this game. They know the game plan so well. When we get to the sideline, they're able to correct any mistakes that we're doing.
All right, more coming up with Peter Kahn's in a moment. The SunTrust Bank defensive shining play of the game also. Take the next step toward financial well-being with SunTrust. How can they help you shine today? We're also going to get into some Badgers. We got obligated, right, to talk about the Badgers?
We'll talk Badgers because they're going to the third consecutive Rose Bowl, so we'll have to talk a little bit about
that. And
we've got
to talk about Russell Wilson, don't we?
We'll talk Russell Wilson. Also going to ask him about Coach Bielema. He shed a little light on him last week to me, and he'll tell the SEC fan what to expect from Coach Bielema.
Two tights and two backs, I'm guessing.
They're going to hit you in the mouth.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So more coming up with Peter Kahn's as the Mike Smith Show continues from Flowery Branch after this on 790 The Zone. /utility guy, Fair Arch, you think?
I wouldn't call him utility guy. I just call him a masher.
Masher, yeah.
Comes off the ball and hits people in the mouth.
Yeah, he's in our Buckhead Beef Spasadell Player Spotlight this week. Man, we have found out all sorts of stuff here about Cons. We got to hold some of it. We can't. We don't have enough time for all of it.
No,
today.
We don't. No, it's a 30-minute magazine show. We can't get to it now. It's a 30 for 30 show.
Yeah, it is a 30. I got to ask you about Wisconsin, and only because of the scenario that played out there last year. And you guys obviously went to the Rose Bowl, mm-hmm. and Russell Wilson comes in from NC State on the one-year deal and has an unbelievable impact. And now, watching what he's doing in Seattle, Dave and I saw him play at NC State. We were not surprised at what happened at Wisconsin, and I know you're probably not surprised what's happened in Seattle.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I was surprised that he went as late as he did in the draft, to be honest.
Wow.
When he came in, he was just a worker. I mean, he went straight to film. He went straight out on the field every day. He went into the weight room. I mean, it was just completely business like I've never seen anybody in my life do.
Yeah. And it's contagious, isn't it?
You bet it is. I mean, you see a guy working that hard who hasn't even been in your program for a day. It influences the younger guys. It influences the starters. And you know he means business, so you're able to trust him on the field because you know that he's done all the work.
At Wisconsin, you guys, obviously Russell added a dimension to the game, his ability to move around, create, extend plays, play action pass. But you're about running the football, coming off the ball. Monty Ball's had an unbelievable career there. Obviously, we'll play in the National Football League. The biggest difference for you coming from that environment and coming off the ball and mashing people to now playing in the National Football League, what was the biggest change you needed to make?
Pass blocking. We did a lot of play action, so it was easy to come off the ball in a run blocking style and then let up and just pass block. And especially never playing guard, I usually had help. Either I was sliding with a guard or I had a guard coming with me. Coming in the NFL, there's a lot of pass rushers. You know, in college I might have faced one or two guys, and I never faced anybody who just came in during pass rushing like the Giants did. They had,
yeah,
I think what they call their NASCAR package,
yeah,
where they bring the ends in.
Right.
Well, I've never seen any of that. And obviously people are scheming every week to try to get the advantage. So they try to put people on islands. They try to get their defensive players with some space so they can make moves. And that's the biggest change I think that I've seen as an offensive player.
Peter, how much of that is practice? How much of that is just talking to guys, meeting room? Or how much of that is tape? A little bit of everything?
I would say practice, most of all. I know some guys are bigger believers in film, and I do watch a lot of film every day after practice. But in the game, I don't know how much I use it. I think film for me is more confidence that I know what I'm doing when I get out there. But practice is what you really need to shore up your footwork, shore up your hands, and make sure that, you know, by the end of the week you've corrected all your mistakes and that you're ready to go mentally.
Difficulty for you to grasp at the line of scrimmage stuff that you guys do, because there's what the fan doesn't realize is most fans are catching on now that there's a lot of dummy stuff that's going on. It doesn't mean anything. Be able to filter that out, and then your ears perk up without anybody knowing on the other side of the ball that this is something different. We're changing things going on. How hard was that to get that, and are you still working and getting it?
Still working. There's so many things and so many more disguises in the pros. I'm just trying to look at stances. I'm trying to see if anybody's communicating. Linebackers, defensive linemen do it a lot when they're doing games. I'm just looking for anything, and that's where Todd and Tyson come in a lot for me, is that they're able to cue me in a little bit better on that as I'm still learning and as I'm taking off those blinders and being able to see in the secondary and being able to tell if the linebacker's a foot deeper or if he's a foot to the right or the left.
So when the Falcons get into the no huddle operation, is it pure chaos?
There are a lot of plays that are, because in our no huddle, sometimes we're on the go. You know, there's no cadence. It's just line up and play. So if you don't have the right look,
yeah,
your guess is as good as mine sometimes.
Hit that guy in front of you.
Yeah, just block straight ahead. Is that what?
Yeah,
if
you hit somebody, normally you'll be fine. At least you can make an excuse after you watch the film before the coaches.
Yeah.
Peter Kahn's with us here on the Player Spotlight. Mike Smith Show here on Sports Radio 790 Zone. Dave Archer alongside Wes Durham. we talked a little bit before we went to the break about Wisconsin, and Wes began to get into Wisconsin. Bielema going to Arkansas, what does that mean for Razorback fans, and what are they going to look like?
It's going to look like a pro-style offense. I'm not really sure what they had before. Never watched a lot of Arkansas football. Yeah. I was more of a Big Ten guy, but he's going to bring a power offense, expect the run. It's going to be Big Ten style, so you're going to see a run on first and second down, and then on third down you're going to see a pass. He's going to also try to recruit some big old boys. I know that's what he did with us, and it was just ground and pound. You out-physical the guy. I mean, it didn't matter who we were playing, what kind of caliber players they had.
Right.
It was, you're going to go and mash somebody.
And it's what's great about watching them play bowl games with Bielema. And the Rose Bowl game you played in last year, and I know it didn't go the way you wanted them to, but it was still an unbelievable match of style of play.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was awesome to watch. I mean, the game is always entertaining with the Badgers because of the contrasting styles typically.
Yeah, last year against Oregon, I had a buddy who played for Oregon, and obviously I talked to Drew, but in the first quarter it kind of told the whole story because they had the ball for 2 minutes and they had two scores. We had the ball for 13 minutes with two scores.
Yeah.
There's no question. But it's obviously interesting because when you look at what Arkansas is doing, here comes Brett Bielema down. He's got a run game scenario, wants to play hard-nosed, get after you style of defense and offense. Mm-hmm. And who are the elite teams in that side of the conference? Alabama and LSU, it's exactly the way they play.
Right.
So it's the right blend, and it's a good get. Okay, we talk. You're newly married. So this has been a whirlwind rookie year for you.
Absolutely.
By the way, he got married, I think, right about the same time Bielema got married, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Bielema got married in like June, yeah, or something like that. Okay.
So you graduate in May. You graduate, get your degree in May.
Yeah.
Married in July.
Yep.
And what was the report date? What was the report date
for
camp?
Oh, it was July 25th.
You got married on the 21st.
Yeah, pack up the car and let's go to camp.
You are so out on this thing, right?
I've got a great honeymoon spot for it. It's called Flowery Branch, Georgia. It's really cool.
Is that
it sounds quaint, doesn't it?
A little bread and breakfast down there.
She signed up for that?
I told her, if this is what you want, this is how it's going to be. If I'm in camp, that's just the way. But we rolled the dice, and that's how it shook out.
All right, so sometime second, third week in March, I'm guessing. This coming second, third week in March?
Probably going on a cruise or something like that.
Okay.
I think that's what we
want to
do.
I mean, there's going to be some legitimate official, we can put quotes around honeymoon, right?
Yeah, there's going to be at least an official vacation.
Okay, we're finishing up here with Peter Kahn here on the Player Spotlight on Mike Smith's show. Peter, give us an idea of what the mindset is here these last couple of weeks now. You're closing in, and I know you're going to lean on the veterans as to how they want to handle these last couple of weeks, but in your mind, how do you play this game against Detroit, knowing that there's still some things out there to achieve in the regular season?
You try to grab that home field advantage. You want to keep the momentum going, and you want to stay healthy. I think those are the biggest three things that everybody wants, and that's what we're going to do. We're still trying to win.
Excellent. It's not Wisconsin. We're not playing in Green Bay this year. Not playing in Chicago, but I got to believe you got a small to moderate ticket demand for Detroit Saturday.
Oh yeah, there's going to be a lot of fans because that's the closest game to Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and it's a good thing the Packer Bear just played; otherwise, nobody would come to our Detroit game.
Yeah,
no one watched our game against the Giants back home.
No, I understand. Packers and Bears may have gotten a 1 o'clock window there. Great to have you with us. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thank you.
Peter Kahns, the rookie offensive lineman from Wisconsin, joining us here today on the Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing. We'll take a couple of weeks off for the holidays and then be back with you in 2013 with some playoff edition shows on a Monday. For Dave Archer, Bo Morgan, G Money, thank you, sir. Jason Byers in our studio. Stay tuned. Archer and Bell continues until 6 o'clock and then football night in Atlanta for a half hour ahead of Georgia Tech basketball on 790 The Zone.